I have decided to follow Jesus.
Welcome to Search the Scriptures 24/7, a radio ministry of the Berean Call featuring T.A. McMahon. I'm Gary Carmichael. We're glad you could be here. In today's program, Tom is joined by Tommy Ice, Executive Director of the Pre-Trib Research Center, to discuss the doctrine of the rapture. Now, along with his guest, here's TBC Executive Director Tom McMahon.
Thanks, Gary. The topic for this program and our next one is the doctrine of the rapture of the church, and our guest is Tommy Ice. Now, I don't know of anyone I could have interviewed who would be better suited to inform us biblically about this very significant topic. He is the executive director of the Pre-Trib Research Center, which he will tell us about. But first, Tommy, thanks for joining us on Search the Scriptures 24/7.
Well, thank you. It's good to be with you. You must have a small circle of friends.
I don't think so, Tommy, but I'll tell you, you're one of the goodies. Now, Tommy, again, before you tell us about, well, actually the why and how of the Pre-Trib Research Center and the study group conferences got started, I want you to give our listeners a basic definition of the biblical doctrine of the rapture. Now, before you go there, I think back to when I became a born-again Christian after 30 years a Roman Catholic. Well, I had never heard of the rapture. And then, as a new believer, I had an insatiable appetite for the Bible and the things of my new evangelical friends were reading. And somebody gave me a copy of a book, very popular at the time, called The Late Great Planet Earth. And that's when I first heard of the rapture. And I can't begin to tell you how excited I got about the teaching. And I'm even more excited about it today, some 35 years later. So give us a biblical definition of the doctrine of the rapture.
Well, let me just say, I grew up Southern Baptist in Austin, Texas, and I, till I was 19 years old, don't ever remember hearing about the rapture myself. I mean, we were in church. I was there 9 months before I was born, and we were there for every service. And it wasn't until I went to Glorieta when I was 19 years old in New Mexico, a Southern Baptist camp, I heard a preacher from Hollywood, California, from the First Baptist Church of Hollywood named Barry Woods speak on the rapture. I was fascinated. I went up afterwards and talked to him and said, where can I learn more about this? And he said, this was in 1970 and the late great planet Earth had just come out. And he recommended that book. And that was my first exposure as well to the preacher of rapture. And the pre-trib rapture is the teaching in Scripture that Christ is going to rapture or snatch up or take up into heaven, into the clouds, believers before the 70th week of Daniel or the tribulation begins. And it's not two second comings, as some try to say. Instead, it is a meeting in the air where the Lord returns us without facing death and gives us our glorified resurrection bodies, and we return to the Father's house. And I believe during the tribulation period, we experience the bema judgment of Christ where we are evaluated. And so the bride has made herself ready, as Revelation 19 talks about, the bride being the church, and we return with Jesus Christ at the second coming. And so that's the second coming where he comes all the way down with us and puts his foot on the Mount of Olives, returns to earth, and that's the second coming. And so these are two separate events. And the reason for the rapture, the preacher of rapture, is to end the church age so that God can return, as Acts 15 says, and rebuild the fallen tabernacle of David. In other words, deal with the nation of Israel. And so that's why the rapture is needed, is to remove the church so that Israel can be the instrument through which he works during the tribulation that leads up to the second coming.
And it, as Dave, my buddy Dave Hunt, who now is with the Lord, but as he says, hey, in order for the Lord to bring us back, we've got to be there. We've got to get there. And that's certainly,
that's
as you
right.
said, Tommy, that's what the rapture's about. It's the time of the bride. It's getting ready for the wedding feast, to be there. We're the bride. And you know, Dave would love to say, are you ready for the wedding? Well,
yeah.
We need that blessed hope first, his return. Well, Tommy, then tell us about the pre-trib research center and study group. How and why did that get started?
Well, Tim LaHaye contacted me because he had read a book I had written and some journal articles I had written and told me about his concern about, and this was in the early 90s, around 91, 92, about the beginning of the decline of people's belief in the pre-trib rapture. Mm-hmm. And so I met him at CBA, Christian Booksellers, and we got together and wondered what we could do. Now, Tim LaHaye is the kind of guy, he started all kinds of organizations over the years. Mm-hmm. And so that's his natural instinct is to start an organization. And so that's what we did. The Pre-Trib Research Center, where it was his idea to bring together the older veteran scholars, mm-hmm. you know, like Dave Hunt or John Walvoord or Dwight Pentecost or Charles Ryrie, those kind of guys, and then bring in younger guys, hopefully, for them to pass the torch on to. Mm-hmm. And so we met the first year in 92 in the Dallas-Fort Worth Airport Hilton and had about 35 people there. And we delivered papers and things like that in order to begin bolstering the doctrine of pre-trib rapture. Mm-hmm. And so then I was hired full time in 94. And we are about this year going to have our 22nd annual meeting of the Pre-Trib Research Center, which is now open to the public, mm-hmm. Pre-Trib Study Group. And so we're going to be focusing on Israel this year. I know that was one of Dave Hunt's loves as well.
Exactly. Exactly. And Tommy, the times that I've been there, they're kind of exciting because, as you say, you bring together the academics and those who are writing popularly on these doctrines and to hear the exchanges and they're just great. You know, iron sharpens iron, and to see things that are being fleshed out and in some cases corrected because, you know, we all don't take the same perspective on some of these things. But to have the Word of God be a listen, that's our reference. That's what we go to. And that's certainly what you guys have done over the years and from my experience with you. Tommy, going back to some of the things that you've written, I'm thinking about Dominion Theology, which you wrote with Wayne House. Now, give us a little bit of background of that, because in our discussion here and talking about the rapture, we're going to talk about people who have been antagonistic to the teaching of the rapture. And certainly your time with involvement with Christian Reconstructionism, with those who hold to an eschatology that would be contrary to what you wrote about in Dominion Theology. Tell us about that.
Well, back as early as the 70s, I started reading Christian Reconstructionists like Gary North and R.J. Mm-hmm. Rushdoony. Mm-hmm. And I especially was interested in what North called Christian economics. Mm-hmm. And in the early days, you knew in the back of your mind that they were postmillennial.
Let's define that for for our listeners. Postmillennial.
Yep. There's three views related to the millennium or the thousand-year reign of Christ. And, mm-hmm. and, of course, the biblical view is the premillennial view, which we hold, and that is that in Revelation 19, Jesus returns to planet Earth. In Revelation 20, he sets up the millennium mm-hmm. or the thousand-year reign on right. Earth. So that's Christ returns before the millennium. And amillennialism is a view that was developed by Augustine, because in the early church you had anti-millennialism, but before that even, the earliest view is premillennialism. And so there are people from North Africa almost exclusively who were influenced by Greek philosophy who didn't want to take the thousand years literally.
Right.
And so they believed that the current age in which we lived was the millennium, the church age.
Tommy, just to interject this, as I mentioned at the beginning, I grew up Roman Catholic.
Yes.
We did not believe in the thousand-year reign of Christ. We believed that we were in the millennium, and some of the reformers held to that kind of position. So this postmillennialism isn't something new or just came up. It is a part of amillennialism.
Yeah, and they believe that Christ is, and they're basically like amillennialists, except mm-hmm. they believe that through the preaching of the gospel, Christ is going to convert virtually the whole world to Christ. And before Christ returns, the world will willingly submit to the law of Christ, they call it, mm-hmm. and to Jesus Christ himself. And that period will go on for a long time, 1,000 or years or more. Mm-hmm. And then after that, there'll be a slight apostasy, and then Jesus will return and end history. Mm-hmm. And so postmillennialists believe that Christ returns after the millennium. Mm-hmm. And so it was very popular in the 1800s, late 1700s. Actually, I think it was a product of the Enlightenment. In other words, that's because man was getting a little better and all of this kind of stuff. The Reformation
so
had right. done a lot in Europe, yes. Mm-hmm. And so up until in the United States, the time of the Civil War, most Protestants were post-millennial, mm-hmm. and for about 150 years there. And so premillennialism began to really catch on after the Civil War in the United States. Mm-hmm. Now, in Great Britain, it was more like the early 1800s that they experienced the shift.
Sure.
And that led in Great Britain and then the United States after the Civil War to the, probably the greatest time of Bible exposition in the history of Christianity.
Right.
And that's what resulted in a renewed study of Bible prophecy mm-hmm. and the pre-trib rapture. And to kind of get ahead of things for just a moment, that's why we're seeing a decline of pre-tribulationalism, of premillennialism, and everybody's going back to the social gospel and all of these kinds of things mm-hmm. is because they're abandoning Bible exposition.
Absolutely.
They're abandoning the Bible. So naturally, pre-tribulationalism declines when that happens.
Exactly. You know, we mentioned earlier before we started recording this, the scripture, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, and we're seeing this across the board. So Christian Reconstructionism, that would be a latter-day kind of Christian Reconstructionism, which we're talking about here, that doesn't go back to the 1800s. That's something of latter day. That's something, what, the 70s, 80s, and so on, Tommy?
The father of the Christian Reconstruction movement is R.J. Rushdoony, who, I believe in the 60s, came out with Institutes of Biblical Law, in which he showed that American law was derived from the Ten Commandments from the Mosaic Law, and I think that's right. But he argued that God is going to use this movement to revive Christianity, and the whole world's going to be converted, and therefore the way of gauging how the church is doing is the extent to which they would follow the law, the Mosaic law, and all of this kind of stuff. Now, I bought into, that's called theonomy also, mm-hmm. means God's law, and I bought into that. I did not buy into the postmillennialism and then the preterism that came out in the 80s, but I considered it strongly. Mm-hmm. In fact, for about a day and a half, I had decided to convert to postmillennial and preterism. And then I...
Preterism being what?
The view that the book of Revelation and most prophecy was fulfilled in the first century around the events right. of the destruction of the temple in AD 70. Mm-hmm. So they don't believe the book of Revelation is about the second coming, or Matthew 24 is not. And for about a day and a half, I believed that. And I realized when I was driving home from visiting them in Tyler, Texas, that I could not really, at the end of the day, believe that, because I would have to throw under the bus, so to speak, Israel. Mm-hmm. I couldn't, a literal Israel.
Right.
Because the church replaces Israel within that theology. Mm-hmm. And about that time is when I met Dave Hunt.
Yeah.
And I was telling him about my forays into this. And, of course, he encouraged me to continue to pursue literal interpretation of Scripture. And even though I was a Dallas Seminary graduate, I realized I really hadn't read a lot of our own people, mm-hmm. like Ryrie and Walden. And I went back and read them because mm-hmm. I'd been reading the other side all this time. Mm-hmm. And I began to realize, I said, you know, this stuff is really crazy. So I ended up writing an article in Bibliotheca Sacra against the Reconstructionist movement, and that's Dallas Seminary's journal. And I ended up writing that book with Wayne House because yeah. I had been reading them for 15 years, and or at least 10 years, and I knew them inside and out.
Yeah.
And that's what launched me into becoming a specialist in the area of Bible prophecy mm-hmm. because of my near disaster of converting to mm-hmm. postmillennialism and preterism and coming back from the dark side, so to speak,
yeah.
into the light. That motivated me. And now we see that things like preterism and all this kind of stuff have had a tremendous impact.
Yeah.
You know, 25 years later.
Right. Well, Tom, going back 25 years, people said, well, I've never heard of Christian Reconstructionism. Let me tell you, folks, this was no small movement. It also, out of that, I believe, and you correct me, Tommy, came the Coalition on Revival, a kind of a political approach to all of this, which influenced many within the moral majority, the Christian right, and so on. Also, and you pick up on this, Tommy, there was an attempt, especially by Gary North, to combine with the kingdom dominionists of the charismatic Pentecostal movement and so on. So this was no small item back in the, you know, in the 70s and 80s.
Right. Elements of the Christian Reconstruction movement splintered off and impacted other movements, as you just said. Jay Grimstead, who was the head of the Coalition on Revival, was a clear Reconstructionist. It's when he converted to Reconstructionism that he started CORE, Coalition on Revival. And you're right, there are, in a sense, two aspects of dominionism. And one is the Reformed movement, mainly Presbyterians, and all of them are not involved in this.
Right.
Many are not, but it, you have that being Rush Dooney and North, and many others like Greg Bahnsen, Gary DeMar, Ken Gentry, and others involved in it. But you also had the Pentecostal side that adopted a lot of this stuff. And they, of course, blended their Pentecostal mysticism with certain aspects of this. But intellectually, they got a lot of their ideas, you know, for reconstructing America from the Reconstructionist movement.
Right. Now, we're talking about, if you've just joined us, we're talking about the rapture here. And some of you may think, well, what does this have to do with the rapture? What Tommy has described, both from the reform side, and again, as he said, not the eschatology. You know, you have to look at a person's eschatology. There are some who would consider them to be reformed theologians, but they don't buy the eschatology of amillennialism. They would be premillennial priests, right, Tommy?
Let me just say, yeah, the dispensational premillennial pre-tribulational view was developed by reformed theologians. Everybody used to be reformed at one time, pretty much, till the Methodists came along in 1789. But nevertheless, the early founders of dispensationalism and of the Brethren movement, et cetera, and the father of pre-tribulationalism in the United States, James Hall Brooks, was a Presbyterian minister, a graduate of Princeton Seminary, and he's considered the father of pre-tribulationalism. Darby was very reformed. He was a very strong Calvinist. And so it was within that movement that our own views were developed as well. So it's not...
But wouldn't you say, Tommy, that that's kind of the exception today? That wouldn't be the case.
Today it is.
Yeah, today it is. See, the, again, the other point about the rapture is these views, Christian Reconstructionism, Coalition on Revival, all of these things that were planted, and they're having a comeback to a certain degree. All of these were antagonistic toward the rapture, the biblical doctrine of the rapture of the church. Now, Tommy,
because
go ahead.
If you're going to reconstruct America and all of this, you're not looking for the rapture, that's for sure.
Now, Tommy, why do you think that the rapture is such a controversial doctrine among Christians, professing or otherwise, and true believers? Why do you think that is?
Well, because it was a later development among Christians. And by the 1600s, all the creeds and everything were all set in. And premillennialism was revived in the 1600s from the early church, and it took a little while longer for the doctrine of the rapture to be revived. And you had to first develop the doctrine of Israel and have a strong view of Israel and her promises in the Old Testament.
Right.
And then historically people started thinking about, well, if Israel's going to be revived in the future, then how does that relate to the church? You see what I'm saying?
Sure.
And then, so you had this tremendous movement among the Puritans to see a future for Israel. As early as 1587, when Francis Kett was burned at the stake in Norwich, England, for teaching that the Jews would return to their land. And that developed as the Puritans had the Bible translated in their own language, and they became Bible readers and all of this, and they start learning the Old Testament in detail. Before that, 1 in 2.5 thousand people could read throughout the Middle Ages. And even if they could read, they didn't necessarily have a handwritten manuscript of the Bible available to them.
Mm-hmm.
And so Bible knowledge started really growing in the 1500s, and Protestantism produced a tremendous knowledge of the Bible. And then you start thinking about the implications, both at the academic and at the lay level.
Mm-hmm.
And within a couple hundred years, you had people starting talking about the rapture as a separate event, you see.
Right, right.
But you had no creeds that had the doctrine of the rapture in it. And as a result, it was viewed as something that wasn't orthodox because
right.
it wasn't in the creeds and things.
Mm-hmm.
But it was so widely accepted by probably 95% of those in the Bible Conference movement that developed in the United States, for example,
mm-hmm.
after the Civil War, that virtually everybody who was part of the Bible study movement believed in the pre-trib rapture because it made sense when you started putting all these hundreds and thousands of details of Bible prophecy mm-hmm. together. That's why it takes charts for us
yeah.
to show it, because
yeah.
it's a, you know, when you're dealing with future history, just like dealing with past history, it's very complicated to get everything lined up. But it's very clear once that movement started.
Right. Now, Tommy, we've got about just a couple of minutes left in this program, and we'll pick up in the next. But just briefly, in a couple of minutes, let's talk about some of the accusations against the rapture. Just highlight them, and then what we'll do is we'll pick up on it, the Lord willing, next week. So here's one accusation. It's not in the Bible, but it was a teaching conjured up by people like John Nelson Darby, Margaret MacDonald, you know, and then a Jesuit priest. What do you say to that?
Well, I have a chapter in a new book that came out about a year ago called The Popular Handbook on the Rapture
mm-hmm.
by Tim LaHaye, Thomas Ice, and Ed Heinsohn, general mm-hmm. editors. And I go through and show how, just since the Pre-Trib Research Center started a little over 20 years ago, we're over a dozen pre-Darby rapture statements now.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, we're finding them from the 4th century in Pseudo-Ephraim and throughout. Some have found one in 1301 or 1304. Brother Dalcino, and we're starting to find them the more that people are going back and doing research. We have a guy who presented last year, William Watson, who is a PhD in British history, and he has found over a dozen from the 1600s alone
mm-hmm.
of people teaching pre-tribulationalism. But like I say, it was suppressed. There's one guy in the 1700s who was put in prison for the rest of his life for suggesting the pre-trib rapture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And he was a member of the Irish and British Parliament. You know?
Tommy, we're just about to finish off this program, but the other accusation is it's an escapist teaching, has nothing to do, that has Christians doing nothing but looking for a bailout before the times of tribulation. I'm going to let the Word of God answer that one. This is 1 John chapter 3, verses 2 and 3. Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, and everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. That's the Word of God.
Amen.
So, Tommy, thanks for being with us on this program. Look forward
sure.
to next week when we pick up on this.
I have decided to follow Jesus.
You've been listening to Search the Scriptures 24/7 with T.A. McMahon, a radio ministry of the Berean Call. We offer a wide variety of materials to help you in your study of God's Word. For a complete list of materials and a free subscription to our monthly newsletter, contact us at P.O. Box 7019, Bend, Oregon, 97708. Call us at 800-937-6638 or visit our website at thebereancall.org. In our next program, Tom will continue his discussion on the doctrine of the rapture with his guest, Tommy Ice, Executive Director of the Pre-Trib Research Center. We hope you can join us. I'm Gary Carmichael. Thanks for tuning in, and we encourage you to search the Scriptures 24/7.
Though none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back, no turning back.